Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, October 18th. I'm Abby Larico. Medicare open enrollment started this week, and this year, some changes could have a long-term impact.
Just a lot of really important changes that will help reduce out-of-pocket costs for people who were facing some very high out-of-pocket costs for a long time.
Hear about some of those changes to Medicare's prescription drug coverage coming up after this news on The Gateway. This election, Missouri voters will decide Constitutional Amendment 7, a measure that bans ranked choice voting in the state. Ranked choice voting allows voters to rank candidates in order of preference rather than choosing just one, and they can rank as many or as few as they'd like. Amendment 7 supporters claim ranked choice voting is too difficult for voters and decreases voter confidence. But Larry Bradley with Better Ballot KC disagrees.
It's very simple. Who's your first choice? Mark that in the left column. Who's your second choice? Mark that in the center column. Who's your third choice? Mark that in the right-hand column.
Amendment 7 would also ban non-citizens from casting a ballot in Missouri. Critics of the measure point out, though, the Constitution already prohibits non-citizens from voting. The city of St. Louis will continue to use approval voting, the process implemented in 2020 for citywide primary races, regardless of whether Amendment 7 is approved. Opponents of a measure legalizing abortion are arguing that it could legalize gender transition surgeries for minors. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains why backers of the measure strongly dispute that claim.
Amendment 3 opponents, like Stephanie Bell of Missouri Stands With Women, have argued that Missouri's ban on gender transition surgery for minors could be struck down if Amendment 3 passes. She says the term reproductive health care is defined rather broadly.
You could just add a sentence on the end of there that says reproductive health care does not include gender-affirming health care or whatever term you want to use.
But Amendment 3 proponents have said that argument doesn't hold water, especially since some types of gender transition surgery do not involve removal of reproductive organs. If Amendment 3 passes on November 5th, Missouri's judges would ultimately have to interpret whether the measure includes things like gender-affirming care. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can hear more from Amendment 3 opponents on the next episode of the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Closing arguments in a Missouri suit about voter registration and absentee voting will begin Monday. The law criminalizes asking someone if they want to fill out an absentee ballot application. Penalties could include fines, imprisonment, or losing the right to vote in Missouri. Denise Lieberman is the director of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition.
These unnecessarily bureaucratic rules are designed and do fundamentally limit the ability of voter registration groups to reach the communities who are underrepresented in the democratic process.
A Missouri judge has temporarily blocked the restrictions from being enforced until the suit is resolved. The Illinois Secretary of State is rolling out DMV kiosks that make renewing license plates, registration, and driver's licenses similar to withdrawing money from an ATM. Alexi Janulius says a new fast lane kiosk has been installed at Ruler Foods in Fairview Heights as part of a pilot program. There are a dozen kiosks in the Chicago area and one each in Springfield and East Peoria. Janulius says this will be convenient for people who don't have time to wait at the DMV. So everyone? The goal is eventually to install more than 150 statewide.
The kiosks are open whenever the grocery store is open. That means early in the mornings, and late at night, as well as Sundays and holidays.
Right now, only English and Spanish are available, but Janulia says there will be more language options as the program expands. Both sides in the federal corruption trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan are making progress in building a jury. The group selected a 12th juror Thursday, a male Chicago Union member who works at a hospital. That means 8 women and 4 men will sit in judgment of Madigan and co-defendant Michael McLean. A Chicago man and self-described listener of NPR News was also chosen as the first of 6 alternate jurors. Opening statements are on track to start next week if 5 more alternate jurors can be selected by Monday. Illinois prison employees were picketing outside of prisons all across the state yesterday, demanding the hiring of more staff. Anders Lindahl is with Ask Me Council 31, a labor union representing prison workers. He says because there's less staff, those incarcerated have been abusing dangerous substances and assaulting staff more frequently.
The work that they're doing is difficult, challenging, stressful, even under the best of circumstances. These are far from ideal circumstances, and too often raising issues seems to fall on deaf ears from management.
The Illinois Department of Corrections, in a statement, says they are working with other state agencies to crack down on illicit substances being snuck into the facilities. Today is the last day to submit a design for a new Illinois state flag. Submissions will then be reviewed by a commission of historians, artists, and elected officials from across the state. The current flag is the state seal against a plain white background with the word Illinois underneath. The commission says redesigns should reflect the identity of Illinois and can include elements of the state's natural features, history, and culture. The commission also recommends using fewer than 3 colors and is prohibiting AI-generated flags. The commission will pick 10 designs and put them up for a public vote online starting next year. 2 St. Louis Public Library buildings now run on solar energy, saving the library thousands of dollars on electricity costs and reducing carbon emissions. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports.
Solar panels line the roofs of the Julia Davis and Booter libraries in St. Louis, converting the sun's energy to electricity to help power the buildings. The panels, installed last spring, are expected to reduce annual carbon emissions by over 240,000 pounds. Justin Strutman is chief operating officer for the library. He says the panels and other upgrades have also cut the library's electricity costs.
We had a bill come in from Ameren for our electricity that was smaller than my bill at home. It was incredible. The business office thought there had been some kind of mistake.
The library system paid $450,000 for the panels and expects to get about half of that back in federal rebates. I'm Ala Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Medicare open enrollment began this week. As Rebecca Smith reports, there are some big changes this year that could immediately affect the lives of senior Missourians and, in the long term, the overall Medicare marketplace.
Got here on the left, you've got your a list of 5 drugs.
A dozen or so folks sit around a U-shaped table inside Care Connections for Aging Services in Warrensburg, Missouri. That's the local area agency on aging in the west central part of the state. They're all here to listen to Scott Mania from the Missouri State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or MOSHIP, and to learn about the changes to Medicare taking effect in 2025.
And then that out-of-pocket cap, that's our donut hole. So we have no donut holes on the back table because we don't have donut holes anymore in 2025.
And you'll that so-called donut hole Mania is referring to is the gap in coverage that used to exist for Medicare beneficiaries with prescription drug coverage. Essentially, there was a gap between what insurance companies agreed to cover at the start of coverage and where catastrophic coverage began. For years, this gap led to people spending thousands of dollars of their own money on medication or choosing to go without. According to the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation which advocates for affordable health care, 14% of U.S. seniors on Medicare in 2022 reported either not filling a prescription because of its costs or skipping a dose. But beginning on January 1st, 2025,
there is a cap on out-of-pocket expenses, so that amount is $2,000 now.
Mania is quick to point out that this cap comes into effect after a beneficiary meets their deductible, and that $2,000 limit only includes in-network and approved care. So prescriptions at an out-of-network pharmacy or those an insurance company denies won't be included, and some people could still end up paying more. There's also a new voluntary payment plan option available in 2025 called the Medicare Prescription Payment Plan, where prescription drug costs can be spread throughout the year.
Kind of like a utility payment plan would be, and then they can use that for budgeting. So ultimately, they pay the same amount. It's just a difference in the way that they have to pay it or the deadlines for payment.
Lee Purvis is in charge of the AARP's policy positions on prescription drugs and says these changes are a continuation of the improvements to Medicare Part D under the Inflation Reduction Act.
Just a lot of really important changes that will help reduce out-of-pocket costs for people who were facing some very high out-of-pocket costs for a long time.
There have been some concerns from beneficiaries about these new measures, which will save them money now, but may end up creating consequences in the future, such as fewer medications being covered, higher deductibles and premiums, and even possibly fewer plans being available at all. Purvis says she understands these concerns, and while the market may have some short-term volatility, in the long term, things will settle down.
But you guys are the rivets that hold it together. The program doesn't work without you.
In Missouri, the team Scott Mania is training in Warrensburg is part of only about 200 MOSHIP counselors available statewide to answer questions about the changes for the more than 1.2 million Missourians eligible for Medicare, which realistically, he says, isn't enough.
We're a limited quantity.
Mania adds assistance through MOSHIP is free, and counselors don't make extra money by recommending one plan over another.
But we can provide that service to the Missourians with Medicare to make sure they're in the best plan that's out there for them.
Medicare open enrollment runs from October 15th to December 7th. In Warrensburg, I'm Rebecca Smith.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Lurico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.